This year is brought to you by Eshel Publications. Eshel Publications is a non-profit organization dedicated to spreading the Torah, Shiurim, and Sefarim of Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky. For sponsorships or more information, visit eshelpublications.com.
Good morning or good afternoon. We're holding here in Perek Nun Hei, and he's in the middle of speaking about the Chazal that, you know, Bo David V'midon al Chadasei, Bo Micha V'midon al Shloisha, and Shaya V'midon al Shisha. All the different neviim that were maimed Torah al achas. Now the general point is he's coming from the place where it says that nothing in Torah can change or be dropped. So all of the hamidon al achas or shisha or whatever doesn't mean that it's dropped. All of them means that it is condensed. All of Torah can be shown to be giving over certain shlemus. So boy Yeshaya v'midon al shisha, v'shenema hoylech tztokas v'dev v'mishorim v'goyma. Hoylech tztokas avrom, t'chsev ki yidat v'asok v'mishpot, dev v'mishorim, she'enoi makin v'chaver barabim, moyes v'betza me'ashkoyz k'goyna b'shmol ben Elisha, no'a kapov k'goyna b'shmol, and oitan oiz m'shmol domim k'mor k'goyna b'loz ben b'shimin, le'shamle b'zilusa, Drabon Vishasik, Oitzma in a Mariestrak, Rabhir Baba, Sesha Mistak, Benoshu Shamis Lakvisa, Oksevum Raim Yishkaim, Mitsuda Sloyam Iskavoy, Lachme Nitin, Mame of the Manu. So basically, he's going, Ishaya is going on six different features of a person, and this is sort of the entirety of the person. And all of these in Yonim complement. What's the loyma? Ki elu shishim gam king neger shlemus kol adam. Lachain zachabem shishim vama rashim. Amma. Hoylach tztokis neger draglayim. Dovim eshom neger apeh. Moyes bebetze meashkoyes neger alev. Shu moyes bedabara. Noya kapov neger yedayim. Oytum ozaznayim. Oytum edem oysra. Behema vama rashim. Be'elu ha'odam sholim mechpikoyim. So Lemaiso, the shleimus that he's talking about is a shleimus on Tzuras Adam. Now, the truth is, there are many ways in which, when you talk about Torah, the entirety of Torah, you can say as it applies to within Torah, as it applies towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it applies towards the Tzuras Adam, all of them will be right. You have the Marshall, there's actually a Sefer Yireim, it's a Sefer Mitzvahs, that lists the mitzvahs as regards the different environment of person. So it is a true way of listing these different things. And each one has what to say. So he says, Va'ama, Kimicha Hemidon, sorry, Olakar Boy Shaev Hemid al Shisha, Kibel Shisha Dvang Shaodom Mushalam Behem, Halivarm Rachan Zahanu, Moyreze Kiodom Hu Etzem Toy Ba'atzmoy. So he explains the chshivas. So what's the chshivas of listing it connected to mitzvahs? What's the connected environment? What's the chshivas of organizing all the mitzvahs connected environment? So he explains as follows. The when you have, Lamashal, if I have a hammer, and I say a hammer is good for hitting nails, but it's not good for putting screws in. So a hammer in terms of building a building, it only is good for one particular aspect. So I can't say a hammer is identified with building, it's used in building, and so on. Let's say I find something that is designed entirely. Every aspect of it fits something. So then I'll say that this is be'etzem it. So for instance, a building project, a person fits in every aspect of it. A person thinks of the ideas, a person does the drawing, a person does the construction, a person does the finishing. So the answer is, so that means a person in his entirety fits the building project, which is obvious because it's a product of a person, a building project. So Torah itself, it's not the pshat is, Torah is what Hashem wants, We ought to be mekayim it, but we could be doing part of ourselves could be doing it. So let's say somebody wants me to lift the heavy output. So I can use my hands for that. I don't need to use my feet. The person wanted to move a heavy object. So I can use my hands and feet, but I don't use my mouth or my ears. So that means these are activities that are important, but I can't say they're me. I can't say they're mine activities. But if something fits me perfectly, every single aver of my body is engaged in this activity, so that means that this is be'etzem me. When I can show that all the chelkei teira apply to every aver of a person, and it goes both directions. Every aver of a person has mitzvahs, and every mitzvah has an aver that lands on. That's a certain identity of between the person and the mitzvahs. So, k'shem she'oser amach mitzvah she'negad for adam or yashlemus kol adam, b'zeshu shon kol evar shaman or shivar rashi gamkin or shon mikra. So, since these evarim are the most prominent evarim, that tells me that adam shon mikra. L'chein am abayi shavin ashesh. So if you ask a person, what's the tachas of Torah? So you can say to do Hashem's rats in this world. You can say to be mashlem a person, every aspect of himself. All of those will be true because you see it fits both perfectly well. Mishpat is din. So Micha has a different organization, and Micha's organization is three. Pirish. So these things are Ashlemus everything. So let's just take it on the first thing on the surface of it. And he's going to explain it in a minute. And whenever you have an organization of three items, one item. One item means this is all there is. You have two items, which is a hisnagdus, and then you have a third item that allows the combination of these two in a way that they work together. In philosophy, you have thesis, antithesis, synthesis, which is basically you have, and the Maral says, whenever you have two items, they're called two because they are in opposition to each other. Whenever I define, when I say I have two items, then I have to define one vis-a-vis the other. This one, is standing here, that item standing there. This one is hot, this one is cold. I need to define it as opposed to the other. The second day of Bria's Olam was division, Aliyarim Tachtainim, and so on. Then when I have a group, I now search for the common denominator, how all the pieces fit in. So, and this is true about Kadosh Baruch Hu's midos. Chesed, Din, Tiferes are exactly those midos. So when by describing Torah in terms of the threesome, I'm describing Torah in its chalakim and in its integration. Pirush. Ki elu shnei shedvarim yesh bahem shleimus hakol. Vizeh. Ki hachesed v'mishpat hem shnei dvarim she'echod ma'aseisim mitzad hachesed rebo shum din klal v'sheni hefech zeh shu chiyuv legamri ki hamishpat ein boi chesed. So let's explain the point he's making. It's a point he makes in a few places when he speaks about chesed. Chesed means I do something that even having done it, all I can see it is as a total uncalled for. I present you with something. There's no obligation on my part. No one sees it as an obligation. And basically, this is what you have, and that's that. It's all one-way street from me to you. So, for instance, I give somebody an unexpected gift of $1,000. It's pure chesed. You know, I just gave it to him. That's it. There's a flip side where you owe me something. You owe me the money, and that's that. That's pure mishpat. That's din. There's something in between. The marshal. If I see somebody and I say he'll be very happy to get the gift card for $1,000, it's pure chesed. Even if I've done it, that's all it is. Let's say somebody is hungry, knocks on my door and says, I haven't eaten in 2 days. Now, there's no real chayv in the sense that, you know, he worked for me and I owe it to him. On the other hand, this obligation, how can I let somebody starve, exists. So it's not chesed, it's not din. It's something that fits in, we would call it you ought to. Din is a metzias. When an accountant looks at the books and he says, well, you send goods for $1,000, there's no payment for $1,000. That's din, it's a mitzvah. But here, it's not that, but it is. When a person knocked on the door, nobody feels, I did a pure chesed. You'll say, I did what I had to do. The word had to means a little different than the first case of what I had to. It's not the pshat that it's not the pshat that I owed it to them. On the other hand, to leave a chasm and kala alone and nobody's mesameh, to leave a mace the bizoyan is something which we feel is wrong. So chesed is, there's nothing that provokes the chesed. Mishpat shemukhili bekoyach ha-mishpat, olafik davet shuroyu, umimutze bein ha-chesed ha-mishpat. Vibnei ke'el shloy shedvar, mekoylem kol ha-chalokim, lefi shehim davet ve-feichoy, vadovet shememutze bein shneyem, lefikach e'el shloy shemashlim megam ken odem mekoyl, lefi she'el shloshtam, emkoylem kol ha-drachim. I want to add one more piece over here, which of Hezbo I think is important. So he explains why Atznei Leches is the voice of Mace and Moses Kala. Why is it called, why is this midah called Atznei Leches? What aspect of it, why is this middle midah called Atznei Leches? So I want to be masbed the following. Chesed and din are, what's the right word for it? They're apparent. I give you uncalled for, I see you, I think you're a great person, I give you this gift card. So the chesed sheboy is very apparent. Nothing provoked it, and I gave you something. When I owe you something, that din is also apparent. I owed it to you. You gave me goods. I didn't pay for it. So that's visible. This concept over here where I ought to do it, it's not possible really to put a finger on it. Well, do you owe it to him? Do you not owe it to him? Owing means I can show you a graph. The goods traveled from him to you. Nothing was returned. An accountant does the books. So on one side, you received the goods. On the other side, you didn't pay the account. So that's visible. Chesed is visible. This musig of I ought to do it because it's the right thing to do it, doesn't reflect a pure physical reality in a sense. And yet it's a hidden sense of it. Could be that's why it's called that snail action. Because the middle midah is always the underlying factor. Let's give one more example that goes to chesed normally and the middle midah. Imagine somebody, let's say eating. So one person is somebody who eats because he loves eating, and his appetite drives him to eat, and he's looking for food and he's eating and so on. That's a physical phenomenon. Let's go now to the person who doesn't eat. He's fasting, he's starving. Let's say he has an eating disorder where he can't look at food, it's repulsive, or he's sick and he can't eat. So that's something that's in the open. When a person, the middle Midah is where a person is not driven at all by his appetite. It's not whether he has a craving to eat or he dislike. He sits down and calculates, what ought to I eat? How much ought to I eat? That's a seicheldika approach. The Midah HaMemutzah is always a seicheldika approach. It means that I'm using, it's a judgment call. I'm using what determines it is not what's physical and on the surface. What determines it is some thinking process. The Midah HaMemutzah always requires a thinking process. It's not a compromise of 50%. The Midah HaMemutzah between eating and starving is not 50% of what a glutton can eat. It's the person weighs and measures what's appropriate. So there's another factor at work here that is the Hester. That's a seichel. But Om Hashem, Chazir Yeshaya v'midon al Shtayim. Shemema Toyama Hashem Shimru Mishpat Basut Mishpat is the gamut stock of the Mishra Zadin, but I've can't do a mutsa Mishra Advarm, commercial device based on scholar, because when Kimish Akhmos scholar by some mask sustains as chesed, or you move from a chesed Mishpat, or you can't come hot stock of Mishpat, pick a coil call, Shtayim Elush or chesed Mishpat. So it's you can appropriately tag it as at the end of the day, it's chesed Mishpat and a variation of that. And in the Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu also, there are Midas that are considered Midas Mimutzah or Yisav HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with some sort of leaning towards one or the other. So at the end of the day, a person can argue that the Mimuda, that it's the Midah Mimutzah controls the Midas, but at the end of the day, it's either or. Finally, V'omah bo chavaka midon achash nema v'tzarek b'munose yichye. B'yazeh. Kadei ha'emuno yesh lodom dveikus b'yisbarach. Ki ein etzem ha'amuna rak hidafkes bo yisbarach. Shumamim boi, o mizdabik bo yisbarach b'munosai. Ve'ein dover ze inye chalki. Ki kol dvar shemano le'ma'alo, ha'yidei echad mehem, yesh lo'odan dveikes bo yisbarach, ve'amuni etzem ha'dveikes. Ulo'i nechshav ze dveikes b'ma'ach. Ve'lekach ha'migam al'achas. Ve'amuna, o morach v'rashna oid. So he says at the end of the day, everything boils down to emunah, and he leaves it at that. Now let's talk a little bit. He speaks about emunah also. He says that Chavakamina Achas, he's Beteach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's not Sarf HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so on. Let's talk a little bit about this musig over here of what emuna is and where does it go and where does it come into the picture. Emuna is unfortunately translated in English as belief, which is used colloquially. A doctor looks at a patient and he says, "I believe that you have the following issue." That word belief, the way we use it in colloquially, means probability, intuition. We use it specifically for something which is not proven, but rather indicated. And I say about something that it has a very, very strong indication. So I believe in this and this. When if a person If I look at a person and he looks pale or whatever it is, and he's kind of sluggish, I say, you know what? I believe you're anemic. when you get back blood results and you look at the hemoglobin count, you don't say, I believe you're anemic. You are anemic. That's the definition of anemia. So when I say, if I smell something, I say, you know, I believe there's a fire somewhere here. When I see the fire burning, I don't believe there's a fire. I see there's a fire here. That's the way we use it. That's where you use the word belief. And it's not a good translation of emunah. Emunah means, it says like, vi yod of emunas ad boike. The word emunah means where something has crossed the path of an idea to becoming a reality. So let's go back, give an example. I think that there's some sort of bacterial disease that's going on over here. When I stay in a slide and I see the bacteria, then now it's a metzias. It's not just a hunch or indication or whatever. It's a metzias. Emuna means when I rely on something. So for instance, I say, can I rely on you? And a ne'eman is a person that I can rely on. Relying means that you are as solid as you look. So for instance, I'm holding a stick. I'm walking a stick and I'm, you know, walking in some sort of treacherous path. The stick looked flimsy to me. And I ask, you know, is this stick reliable? Will it hold or will it snap? So emuna is almost, I wouldn't say the word opposite, very different than its intent is the opposite. It's not that I rely on this as something which is, I believe it's probable, it's reasonable. It means I see it as a davar kayam. I see the thing, it has crossed into reality. So for instance, if there are some philosophies that you think it makes sense, it's something that has a lot of proof and so on and so forth. But if I have to ask a person, do you believe that stealing is wrong? And the person says, I believe stealing is wrong. What it means by a normal person is, it is to me a metzias, like this day and night. Arguments will not shake me because the idea that stealing is wrong has crossed into the path, it has crossed into reality for me. It no longer is. So when I speak about, is capitalism ideal or communism ideal? So I debate back and forth and I can say, I really think this is ideal and so on, but I don't see it as a metzias. That stealing is wrong. Anyone, unless the person is a psychopath of some sort, a person sees it as a metzias. And if I ask, well, where can you show it to me in a test tube? Can you produce something? I'll laugh at the person. It's a metzias, even though I can't, you know, show you a snapshot or anything like it. So emuna means that things become a metzias, and that's when a person is davek in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So long as HaKadosh Baruch Hu and mitzvahs and all of it are simply good ideas, and if it's still in the realm of what we call belief, then it's a prerequisite for doing them. But it's not the dveikus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I can't be dovek in something that I really don't sense its existence. I can be dovek in something that is real, but I can't be dovek since not. So the entire world of, if we ask ourselves, what is the entire world of mitzvahs? The answer is, it's the reality of Torah. It's the physical representation of it. A person who there's an old Jewish joke that, like all good old Jewish jokes, that describes a certain metzias. Two old men, you know, 100 years ago, were talking, and one of them was very troubled, and he said, At that time, a lot of people were becoming non-believers, because it was in Europe in the late 1800s or 1900s. And one confided to the other, it's terrible, but it's been 5 days that my son has stopped putting on tefillin. So the other person said, oh my gosh, he's going to starve to death, because you can't eat before you put on tefillin. So this poor guy, five days hasn't put on tefillin, so his starvation is imminent. I says he wasn't a Chassidish young man, but it's a type of idea that for them it was such a mitzvah. That was this. You don't eat before you put on tefillin. That's that. It's a cutesy joke. But the point is, it reflects where mitzvahs, the world of mitzvahs, Torah for us is an idea, and it deals with ideas. And ideas per se never become a mitzvah. When something is real, the revolver was mastered by Chatzel Levenstein in the Mir. I wasn't there, I was in America. It was after Purim, so it was in America. And he said, when Reb Chaskel said, "Azanas Olam Kuloi B'Tuvoi B'Chein B'Chesed Rachmim," you saw Chein and Chesed and Rachmim. His sense of it being real projected that sense to everyone around him. But the point is, so the world, if you want to boil down the world of mitzvahs, the world of mitzvahs, all of it is makes Torah tangible to us, so long as it hasn't come into Olam HaMaisa. And it's very interesting. Let's take something very simple. In the world, when you want to commemorate something, you make speeches, you have an event, but it focuses around speeches or whatever. So Leila Seda, the difference between sitting and talking about this is right, which is wonderful, and actually sinking your teeth into a piece of matzah and mar, as simple as an act it is a world of difference. Stories, talking is not quite reality for us. A physical object that we connect with is reality. So the tzaddik b'munasa yichya means that at the end of the day, all of Torah is a chibad Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the klal of the Taryag mitzvahs is that. So the hemidan al achas is really the core of all the mitzvahs together. Okay, we'll hold it over here.
It makes sense to say that a person has emuna in a historical event.
Unless, for instance, let's give an example. If somebody comes to me and tells me the communists were bad people, they did this. So yes, I think some will come and argue to me and saying, you're seeing a very small segment of history. Look at how much good it is and so forth. I could hear that the argument will sort of shake my sense of it. It'll affect it somewhat. If someone comes along to me and says that George Washington was not the first president of the United States, it's a lie made up by the Jews, and for whatever reason, we always make up lies, and that's fine. So I would think that is nuts. I have to think why this I take as a fact. It's not. There's certain fact that George Washington was the first president of the United States. I, to me, it's in the realm of fact, like saying there's a tree outside, and if someone were to come to me, it's one of the very terrible aspects when people start having dementia, Alzheimer's. There's a tekufa when they sense that people don't believe them. They'll say this happened, that happened, the other person, and people say no. And people become very distraught. And I think it's because when someone shakes your sense of reality and is basically telling you hallucinating, it shakes it to the core. So if someone were to, there's a tree outside here, if someone would tell me there's no tree outside, it's an illusion, it would make me very distraught, because that means the nothing is right.
So when someone becomes, when someone is the point where he's still a foot in both worlds, and you start telling him, you're living not in reality, that becomes extremely, extremely stressful for a person. So things that are emunah, real emunah means that the thing has passed into the world of metzias, and it's ironic, I guess. The people who stand and shout very, very loudly, you know, Hashem is king, Hashem is us, Hashem is this, Hashem is that, thank you. All that screaming and yelling, unfortunately, a lot of times conveys a sense that it's not firm emunah. Things that are pashit. A person who will not do an aveira because it is one of the things. My shver zochar nivracha. My shver had no musa shmuzin. He had two words: either you have to or how can you. It's like, I don't understand something. Like he puzzled. If you have to do it, then you have to do it. And if I give you an hour's worth of mishalim and stories and jokes that changes it, you have to do it. That's that. What more do you need to say? And if you can't do it, you can't do it. And like you said, but you can't. And you know, it's something that the real emuna is where it's pashit. There's no, when you have to yell and scream from rooftops and bang on drums, then you're trying to sort of get it, either trying to convince yourself or trying to convince others or whatever. It real emuna is when it's simple and pashut to me, like a metzias. Okay.